Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now!
And I think they will go to 24 teams because it's been so great. And they need some good news. They need more teams in the playoffs. It's been 16 since the 80s. Whoever came up with that analysis that home ice would mean, teams were mad that it was the bubbles were going to be Toronto and Edmonton because the Leafs and Oilers might get an advantage. Doesn't mean a thing.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Happy Flame Tech Football Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Let's do this again. Canada's number one daytime sports talk show.
Bingo.
And Canada's only daytime sports talk show.
Where's the laugh track?
There you go.
Gotta make sure.
Lynch, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope you're ready to have some fun today and talk some football. We do have some hockey things to get to, of course. And I say howdy to the hockey boys that are all working out of their dressing rooms right now. They keep writing me every day and tell me that they're doing that. Good morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee. On that football vein, we got some really exciting guests today. This is teamwork makes the dream work stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hall of Fame writer-broadcaster John Frenzy's with us. And it is, Lynch, if you forgot, the 12-year anniversary of the passing of the great Ron Lancaster, the little general. 12 years ago today, 2008. It's a very simple where were you moment because the Riders were playing that night, if my memory serves correctly. And that was the infamous beer-throwing night. Were you there?
I was not.
When the Rider Nation on the east side were pelting the BC Lions with Coors Light and Pilsner cans.
Remember it well, though.
So, yeah. So somebody had written in and said, if could Frenzy tell some stories of the little general. So think about that, Frenzy. Yep. And then also coming up, this was my request. John Chick, Jacksonville Jaguars alum, Indianapolis Colts, Riders, Eskimos, Ticats as well. J-Bone. Going to be joining us from Jacksonville. And the whole premise was, let's get Johnny to tell us what's wrong with the Jaguars because he's Jags alum and he lives there. Then they go out and win.
Yeah, and then they go out and win, and now Gardner Minshew is the MVP and right. Life is good.
Right.
Who's Leonard Fournette?
So we're all excited. We're all excited for John Chick. Tori Gurley will be with us for Tori's tips for Wheaton Kia, which we do every Friday. If you're playing fantasy and you don't pick your team until Sunday morning, Tori's got the team. He did very well last week, by the way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He'll be with us in hour two. Former Browns and Packers wide receiver. And the great Willie Jefferson, the reigning most outstanding defensive player in the Canadian Football League, will be with us in hour two. John Frenzy said before the show, what's he doing now? I said, I don't know. Let's find out. I believe he's in Houston or Austin or somewhere in the great state. So Willie J will be with us in hour two. That's what we call a football Friday. But let's load it up with the quick six show topics. What do you say? Let's go, Jordan. Number one, this is news this morning, and I would suggest you probably haven't heard it. Lynch hadn't. Alouettes owner Gary Stern has come out. It was on, I think, TSN 690 Montreal and said they plan to play in 2021, the Canadian Football League. That's the plan. That's plan A. Business as usual. Plan B is playing without fans, and they think they can still do it. I bet you that's news to you.
Yeah. And it's big news because finally you get a little bit of direction. Okay, so they're thinking they can play because, you know, in this country, junior hockey's in doubt. Football clearly is in doubt at the university level. And, you know, the second term in January, we're not 100% sure what's going to happen, but we're understanding sports are going to go ahead starting in January in term two. But then, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the NHL and their travel policy. So for the CFL, completely, you know, without being talked about, this is big that they're actually planning on playing. And if they're not, they've got a plan for no fans. Like, that makes me feel good.
Wait. I don't think I'm being a negative Nelly here or a Debbie Downer when I say this, but here's my thinking. Yeah, I want to see the CFL too. Oh, my God, I do. I want the players to play and the coaches to coach and the markers to market, the ticket sellers to sell tickets. I want all that to happen. But what this is telling me, based on this report this morning, and I thank CFL News for tweeting it, is where's the change to your business model that was planned? Where's the money going to come to get you onto the field as was promised? Because they're going to lose up to $50 million collectively as a league that they don't have just by not playing this year. That hasn't changed, man. So the only news that's come out over the past several weeks is this today from Gary Stern, the owner of the Alouettes, who I think we can all agree sounds like a really great guy, but I can also say he's the new kid on the block. So I can see the other CFL owners going, "Dude, what are you saying? Shut up." That's how they operate. So I just dig a little deeper to the levels of this. They don't like this information being out there. Whether it's good or bad, they just don't like news out at all. That's the truth.
For sure.
So you see where I'm just not, this isn't all meets the eye to me.
I completely get it and understand that. But the fact that they're operating with their, that he's operating at least with a plan to play, that part I like about it. Of course, all the other stuff, yeah, we got to clean that up. And but if we've learned anything over the last 6 or 8 months,
expect the unexpected.
Expect the unexpected and don't take it to the bank yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, yeah. It's a football Friday for Flame Tech. This is Saskatchewan's leader in combustion services. Off the top of my head,
wow.
I remember that.
Impressive.
On the hockey thing, by the way, which we'll get to with the Stanley Cup, but I'm seeing a lot of junior A people tweeting today that the president of the league has a meeting with the provincial health authorities, and it looks good, and there could be an announcement next week. And I'm like, the CFL fans are going, been there. That's what it seems like to me.
I know.
People are, there's a 50-50 chance we hear that the SJHL will play. Where have I heard that before? Sorry. Sorry to be Debbie Downer. Very fine line between realist and pessimist. And nobody's ever called me a pessimist in my life. I'm the eternally optimistic guy, but I need to see it before I believe it. By the way, jacket I'm wearing today, the bunny hug, comes from Chad Jeter. Black Lives Matter, Reach One, Teach One. Baller Gear is the manufacturer. And Chad Jeter, Rough Riders defensive end number 91, selling them. I ordered it, and there you go, Chad. Got to get the still for the Instagram.
No, it's great, and it looked good on the Instagram shot, and it looks good on social media. And it's a great message, and I love Chad's logo. I love Chad's logo. I think it's clean and sharp and nice.
It's the thing about Chad Jeter, what I've learned. He played with the Riders my last year with the Riders. He's got some chutzpah. He's got pizzazz. He's always going to be fine in life.
Yeah.
But he'd still like to play football. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He's not ready to get on with the rest of his life
yet. He's still a football player.
So he's selling steak knives, and he's selling hoodies, and he's follow his social media accounts. The guy's an entrepreneur. Now everybody's checking in. Donald, our Navy buddy from the Middle East, says Gary is the only one talking. Where's the common message from the league? Yeah. Jeff in Calgary, the Stampeders fan, says, isn't it a little early to make a decision on fans in the stands? Yeah. They're adding on to what I'm saying.
And again, but
what makes you believe that this is going to happen based on the current climate?
Right. But on the other side, I'd say, what makes you believe that that's a decision, any sort of a decision, right? It's just them working with the notion and the mindset that they're going to play. And if they don't play, that they're going to play without fans. If they can't play with fans, that's the plan right now. But I mean, until I hear something from Randy and Interior, until there's a schedule and until I can buy a ticket. Yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the warm-up, by the way. Nelson Hackowich, our VP of Sim Events, writes in and says, so if the CFL could play without fans next year, why couldn't they do it this year? Well, in a way, they got caught with their pants down. They weren't prepared for this like everybody else. I was thinking about it this morning. I believe they're the only pro league that didn't play, but then the NLL didn't either. They were one of the first to shut it down. But Canadian Premier League played soccer. The Canadian Elite Basketball League got their season and a shortened season. So these are good questions that I don't have the answers to. But when I heard Gary Stern, who I think if I met him, I'd really like him. I like everything that he says. I just kind of sit back and say, sorry, not yet. That's a lot on point one. Let's go to point two. Thursday Night Football, Battle of Ohio. Sounds like you watched a lot of it. The Cleveland Browns. The final was 35-20 over the Cincinnati Bengals, but that's a score that flatters the Browns. It was late, and it was closer till late, right? Yeah. Pretty good game. OBJ, one-handed catches, Joe Burrow. looked very good.
Oh, yeah. Threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns. Yeah.
61 pass attempts.
Yeah. They're letting him throw the ball. And you got Joe Mixon in the backfield, who's a pretty good tailback, too, to take some of that pressure off. But they let him out of the barn. They let him loose. And Joe is starting to evolve really, really well. And, you know, he's not going to light the world on fire and turn the Bengals into a division winner right away. It's going to take some time. And they're going to need a few more weapons around him. But he looked good. And Baker is taking another step, too. I mean, talk about, you know, he must have, what does he say, wake up feeling dangerous? That's his line. But, I mean, OBJ, and they've got a two-headed monster in the backfield. When you can have Kareem Hunt coming off the bench
and
like
Nick
he
Chubb.
Did. And you got Nick Chubb, who rushed for over 100 yards on, 22 carries, 120 yards, I think. They're a good football team, and they showed it last night.
Lots of people writing in on last night's Thursday night of the Battle of Ohio going to the Bengals. It spawned today's Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Who will have a better pro career when all is said and done, Baker Mayfield or Joe Burrow? Right out of the gate, 87% of you saying Joe Burrow. And I'd like to know why. Because as good as he looked last night, there's still a bad team. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with Baker Mayfield, has far more talent around him on that club. And Cleveland probably should be better than they've been. I would vote for Baker Mayfield. He's got the Brett Favre chutzpah about him.
Gunslinger.
Right. Whereas Joe Burrow's just a little more pocket passer, very methodic, very boring.
Yes.
And that wins, too. That wins, too.
Baker Mayfield's rolling up on the motorcycle to take you out for the date at 10 o'clock at night. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow's the guy you're bringing home to meet mom and dad. Vanilla?
Bingo.
Firecrackers, right?
Both great.
Both great. Both serve a purpose. Both have a ton of success.
Who has more staying power?
Who has more? Oh, Joe Burrow's got more staying power. That other guy's burnt out and he's in the ditch. So we're watching him on Cobra Kai. We're watching Baker Mayfield.
Oh, but have you started Cobra Kai yet?
I'm two episodes in. Oh, yeah.
I'm in love with Cobra Kai.
They just met and at the dojo. They just met there. And he's like looking around. He's like, you can't be serious that you're starting it. So that's where I'm at.
This guy is a clone of Bo Levi Mitchell.
Completely.
Clone! Point three. America's game of the week in the National Football League. Sorry. For me, it's, of course, Cowboys-Falcons. Cowboys will right the ship. Molly Wop Clark, producer Clark's Atlanta Falcons. That's the game that I'm most interested in. And then, now, while I think Patriots-Seahawks in Seattle, ginormous. But you?
I mean, it's the Titans and Jags. I mean, I want to see if Jacksonville is for real. So I'm really looking forward to watching that on Sunday. That's going to be a lot of fun. But just the last thought on the Thursday night, like, it's supposed to be a primetime game, and the Browns and the Bengals don't...
It's the Battle of Ohio, man!
Doesn't exactly elicit a national TV ratings phenomenon, but it turned into being a great game. So next week, Thursday Night Football, it's Miami...
Battle of Florida.
...and Jacksonville, and I'm like, that's even less appealing than the other two, and it'll probably be an amazing game. Maybe we'll play, I don't know. So anyways...
People writing in like crazy about our... I know we're going fast here on the warm-up, but about the Baker Mayfield versus Joe Burrow. Kind of a fascinating...
It is.
...discussion. Lynch, you're writing all these down, right? You got thoughts on all... Certainly am. Point four, Stanley Cup Final, Tampa Bay versus Dallas. I boldly predicted on Cat Country 98 FM this morning that the Tampa Bay Lightning will win the Stanley Cup over the Dallas Stars because it's their time, dang it. But, man, they are cruising into the Stanley Cup Final with the check engine light on, one flat tire. Thump, 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 thump. You know what I mean? And the Stars just seem like the Ferrari in the parking lot just dangling the keys. Ding, ding, ding.
Haven't used much gas. Still shined up. They haven't taken it on the dirt road.
Which one you taking? Which one you the Tampa Bay, this is it. I almost want to say the window's closing. Stammers had injury issues. And John Cooper, not like they're going to fire him if they lose the Stanley Cup, but it's just, it's been 5 years of this, man. It's time. Where did Dallas come from?
I know.
They're the new kids on the block. Well, they're hanging tough.
They're hanging tough. And they got a lot of good young pieces. I like what Dallas has with their young players. Their future's bright. But they also have the Joel Pavelskis, the Corey Perrys, Jamie Benns, Tyler Seguin, some of these guys who've been around a little bit now who I really like this time of year, and they're starting to excel. And I mean, Hudobin's been so much fun to watch in goal, but you're right. It's got to be Tampa's time. Nobody's really talked about Steven Stamkos in these playoffs, but man, if they could have him in the lineup, how much, you know, that would add to what they have going on. And you're right, though, that check engine light's on. They've had a lot of guys beat up and banged up, especially in that New York series.
Got to read this from Robert Kazakov, one of our regular viewers, one of our P1s, and he is a big-time race guy. He got me into auto sports this summer. He says, SJHL teams, from what I've seen, posted in the last couple days, they're sending their seniors to care homes with smile cookies. Camps just ended. Is he being facetious?
I don't know.
Sending your hockey players into seniors facilities
to deliver cookies.
Like, dang, I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tell us. We got to dig into this. We got to dig into this a little more. I can't imagine that's the case. SJHL camps continue. As a matter of fact, Notre Dame Hounds opening today. I was told by Noogsy yesterday we had coffee.
Yeah.
So a lot of misinformation out there. Moving on, I'm getting sidetracked. Point five, NBA playoffs, not following. Point six, Connor Bedard won't play games in Sweden, by the way. I was reading the North Vancouver Press today, the newspaper of his home community, North Vancouver. I just thought Bedard would be playing games. Going to Sweden's a long ways to go to practice.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I don't know how you feel about that.
But it's getting on the ice with competition and being able to play with other players. I don't know. There must be games at least somewhere on the horizon, or at least the thought of it or talk of it, you know, behind closed doors. But you're right. It's a long way to go to practice. But for a guy who's you know, kind of trying to pencil himself in as a number one overall pick in the NHL draft and go that way and be like an Austin Matthews, you got to be on the ice. Period. So whatever that takes to be on the ice and do it safely, because he doesn't want to get sick either. Just because he can recover from it, you know, he doesn't want to take a chance of long-term effects of it, and we don't know all that kind of stuff. He wants to play, though. He wants to play.
A couple guys writing in saying LaRonge Ice Wolves open camp up today, so there's that. And then Don, the Navy guy, says they better not be visiting seniors' homes. My mom's place in Brandon is still closed to visitors. Something's not meeting the eye there. But anyways, back to Bedard. I don't know why he couldn't skate with NHLers in Vancouver. God knows there's enough of them there that he got to go to Sweden to practice with juniors. But whatever. Not my life. Good for him. And it's game day. CFL Sim game day tonight. 10-3 Calgary Stampeders at the 9-3 Saskatchewan Roughriders. CFL Sim Esports League. You and I will be calling it. It's been voted Canada's Game of the Week on Facebook Live, the RP Show Facebook page. When we come back, John Frenzy in the bunker and Hall of Famer John Chick. We're going to talk Jags, Colts, CFL stories, and all the rest. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus Television Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy Flame Tech Football Friday for you. Flame Tech, Saskatchewan's leader in combustion services. Just for our viewers, new viewers on Game Plus TV, watching in over a million homes across North America, John Chick is from Gillette, Wyoming. Spent 06 with the Houston Texans, 07 to 09 with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 2010, 2011 with the Indy Colts, 2011 and 2012 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, back to Ryderville 2013 to 2015, and then around the CFL, two seasons in Hamilton, one season in Edmonton. He's a multiple All-Star, two-time Grey Cup champion, 09 winner of the Norm Fieldgate Trophy, Hall of Famer in waiting. There we go. John Chick joining us from Jacksonville Jaguar today. There he is, as always, looking good, trim, and ripped. How you doing, John?
Hey, what's going on? Good to see you. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Johnny. As always, we got the two Johns here today, John Lynch and John Chick. Hey, John, as Jags alum, I don't know if you saw what we were saying earlier. I said, we got to get John Chick on to tell us what's wrong with the Jaguars. Everybody wants out of there. Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, just to name a few. And then they go out and beat the Colts in week one. What's the read you have on the Jaguars right now?
I am so disconnected. I really can't give a feel what's going on in the locker room. It's just an era, man. I'm telling you, it is. You get a few teams that have that all around locker room that everyone buys into, and then outside of that, it's far and few between. And it's not. I don't think you can put your one hand on it, but it takes a lot to be loyal. And you know, I think. Over years in Florida football, you can look at the three teams we've got here. There's been a disconnect. So can't really put a finger on it other than, you know, it's just kind of speaks more to the era we're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And my point is, I mean, I didn't even expect you to say what's going on in the locker room because they're not. A lot of people would know outside the locker room. However, I've seen you doing Jags alumni events and stuff, so I know that you're watching the games. I just saying, John, people thought it's a foregone conclusion that they're drafting Trevor Lawrence number one overall, that they're going to finish dead last in the NFL. And I'm just wondering if you're one of those guys that thinks that they're the 32nd team in the NFL.
I don't. I can't give you a real read on how they compare to anybody right now, but I still know a lot of the organization. I have a very good connection with the strength coaches there, and I have a bias thinking that they are second to none in the league. You know, from that standpoint. So I know they're well trained. I know they're well coached. I can't speak for all the guys in the locker room, so I don't know how they're going to compare there. But, shoot, they came out, beat a team that isn't going to be easy to beat on any given day, and that's why they play the game.
Well, I'll say good for them. By the way, our viewers writing in, Curtis Kemp says, Chick brought heart and class. I think the last viewer, Brett, it slipped off our screen here, but said, miss John in Sask, which we all do, but you traveling around with that pack of chicks isn't an easy thing to do, John. But I just want to talk about a couple things. One, is it as humid in Jacksonville right now as I hear? Like, what is it like living there in the summertime?
Yeah, right now it is crazy humid. I am, you know, I start my day at 6 here with training most days, and man, I am just soaked. I got to change twice before 10:30. So, but that's good. I'm working, and it is humid right now. A lot of rain, but you know, dry season's coming, and we can take a little bit of it for a bit here. So.
Good for you, John. And I promise I'm going to get down to visit you there. It's on my bucket list, Jacksonville and also the Florida Keys. Lynch, I'm going to turn you loose in 1 second, but I got one. I'm actually going to hand it over to you guys in a sec. John, 12 years ago today, Ron Lancaster passed away, and that was the night of the infamous beer-throwing incident at Mosaics, at Taylor Field, actually, with the fans pelting the BC Lions on their bench. Now, you were with the Riders in 08. I believe you were there in September of 08. Do you remember that night where Wally Buono had to pull his players out to midfield because they were getting hammered with beer cans? Do you remember it?
No. I mean, not for that reason, not for anything. I do remember an incident with the BC Lions there, but I would have guessed that would have been 07.
It was, so exactly. Yeah, no, it's fine. Hey, that was the brawl for it all. Are you kidding? Oh, I remember. But it also brought the Rider team together on the way to the Grey Cup in 2007. But Lynch, what do you remember about that? And the reason that I say that it was this night was because commentators nationally were saying this wouldn't make Ron Lancaster very happy. The Rider fans were performing this way on the day of his death. But what do you remember, John, about that night? Do you?
It was not a quiet night. Everybody got into things. A very emotional night. And it lasted too long, I thought. It was really something else.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Go ahead to John. Were you going to say something?
No, just interesting. I don't remember. My memory is not the best, I can tell you.
Well, I know you're looking forward. You're looking forward, not behind. But John, what's your take, by the way, because you're training guys down there. What is your take on the status of the CFL right now with no season in 2020? I'm sure you're probably glad you're retired and didn't have to go through this like the current players. What's your perspective? What have you seen from your vantage point?
I find it very sad and disappointing that, and again, large scale, I won't go too deep into it, but so many people are living in this place of being controlled, of being in fear. And I know everyone's gonna say it's not that. I do this because I care for, you know, very disappointed. If I was there, I probably would have gone and found a different gig. You know, that's just how it would be. Right now I live for the now. I'm here to take care of my wife and my kids. And I'm about being all in, all day, every day. And if you aren't, sorry. That's always been me. That will always be me. And I understand we got to take care of people, but so we're just ignoring statistics. We have not missed a beat here. I will say statistics. They're going to blow numbers up. I have been training. I haven't stopped been working with young athletes. Older people have not missed a beat. Do I know people that have gotten this virus? Yes. That's not to say I don't want to take away from anyone who has lost someone. I also know people who have passed from this deal. So there is an aspect of we have to take care of those who are vulnerable. But we also have to have choice, and to CFL is a staple in that country, and it's still a staple for me and in our country. And to not have football, I realize that's not life, but we're letting too many things outweigh what's really important. And and that's, again, football is the least of that, but it's very disappointing. I was very disappointed.
Well, hey,
here I am watching high school football Friday. Can't wait to watch my second week of high school football here in Florida, because I'm not getting to watch CFL, getting to watch all the other things. Kids that I coached all season, nobody missing a beat here. So I just find it very frustrating that CFL is missing the beat.
I know you and I view the coronavirus thing the exact same way. And if we have time at the end of this interview, maybe we'll go a little further down that road. I'm enjoying watching the high school football too on ESPN. Frenzy, though, he's just dying to ask you some questions here. Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. So, Frenzy, what do you got for John Chick?
John, down there, do you have any idea of how many CFL players are down, ex-CFLers? Do you see many ex-CFLers, your buddies from CFL days down in Jacksonville?
I don't know. I have not a clue how many. I know there are several, and I have at times. You know, it's funny. Me and Rob Murphy have never connected. I don't think we live too far from one another, which is funny, because you know, we were good field rivals. Love to connect with him sometime. I know he's at least in my neck of the woods somewhere as a firefighter. I have, there are a couple fields by me. So I work with guys, that is part of my training company. So when I work with D-line, other guys work with other people. So I have bumped into a lot of guys. I got a field turf field less than 3 minutes from my house where I see CFO guys training regularly, bump into old teammates, guys, you know, the Jacksonville Sharks practice on this field often. So a couple guys that I've had, you know, shared locker rooms before, training there. So yeah, I do get to stay connected to some extent, but not on a regular basis or people that I knew going through.
What's John, like, by the way, Monty Claussen writes in from Saskatoon. He says, you had a 4-sack game versus Hamilton. Do you remember that? Was that your best game ever? Refresh my memory on that. Which game is he talking about? Oh, you can't remember. Your memory's gone. I forgot. Mine too, apparently.
No.
If you can't remember.
It would have been a home game. I would have remembered 3. I don't know if I could remember 4. That would have been.
Oh, that was, wait a minute. That was a home opener. That was a home opener, I think, 2014. And it was in a rainstorm, and you almost took off Zach Caleros' head. He was quarterbacking Hamilton. That was the game. Yeah. 4 sacks. I do remember that the Riders had a team, had like 9.
2014, that's what it was.
Yeah. Wow. Whoa. Yeah. I can't believe I remembered that. Frenzy, one more for John Chick. What do you have?
When you are the way you are now down there, do you see many Canadian people and talk about Canadian football at all, or is it really out of the picture in Jacksonville?
I don't get out much, man. I work for a living. So I work from home. I am training guys. So I talk with my clients, about the good old days. And but I am training guys for the future. That's who I'm watching right now. So as far as me getting out, going to the, bar or hang, man, no. Live at home with my wife and kids, and it is all about them. We are 24/7. If you can even imagine, we are a little divided, but it's a blessing.
J-Bone, I actually am shocked that you found a room quiet enough to do this interview, by the way. And it worked real well, that TV show John and Kate +8. That was you guys, but now it's +9. Where is everybody today?
Well, they're in school. My youngest was here. My wife got home just in time. She would have probably just been jumping on the bed behind me here. But other than that, it's school started. So we are kind of quiet around here for some time, which is nice, actually getting some things done.
All right, John. Well, last one. I'll just say this. The Christian people have a different viewpoint, I think, of the rest of society with coronavirus. There's not a lot of fear amongst us. Have you, and you've kind of backed off on your public comments on this. The viewers were writing in and saying, boy, John's really, what do they say, fighting it back here, biting his lip right now. But as far as coronavirus goes, have you kind of stopped putting your thoughts out there? Were you getting a backlash?
I have personally just tried to back away. What I am seeing is it's a firestorm, and it's an intentional. Most people that are on there are looking for a battle, and it seems that everyone, first of all, is an expert. Everyone is posting their articles that back their point of view, but nobody is seeking truth. And it reminds me, one of the things I wanted to share with you, I'm actually doing my master's program right now for evangelization and catechetics. So it's one, I don't have as much time. That's kicking my butt. But what's the verse? This will put me to the test because it's on a test this week. 2 Timothy verses 2-4, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
It says, proclaim the good news. All right, proclaim the good news. Be persistent, whether convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all teaching. For a time will come when people will not listen to sound doctrine and will follow their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will not listen to the truth, but will be diverted to myths. It says, but you be, I remember this one, you be self-possessed. Be self-possessed. Perform the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And so, no. One is it's not the time. It's I've had less time, but I'm seeing there are people so set in their ways but aren't seeking truth. And you can't talk with people that aren't seeking truth. All you can do is be the light and share, but. You know, I'm not looking for an argument. I'm not looking, you know, it's a day and age when everyone can share their opinion and you will follow or be followed by anyone that shares that same opinion. And
bingo.
My opinion don't matter. Your opinion don't matter. No opinion matters. Truth. Be seekers of truth.
Should matter. John, we are out of time. Just want to say this. Miranda Foster's watching. She says, John's an amazing guy. I love that he isn't afraid to stand up for what he believes. From producer Clark, preach, John. And he did. We have to run. John, this has been a great update, though. My best to you and yours.
Thank you.
Pardon?
I said, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, John. Thank you. Love you, man. Appreciate it. We'll be right back with a sports update and a whole lot more. That's a lot to digest right there. Jaguars, Colts, Riders, Ticats, Eskimos, alum John Chick. It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and Listen Live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. It is time on this Friday morning for a sports update on this Flame Tech Football Friday. The New York Riptide made Cornell forward Jeff Teat the number one overall pick in the 2020 NLL Draft Thursday night. The Saskatchewan Rush had two picks. At seven, they selected forward Marshall Paulus from Six Nations, and at number 12, they went with Marquette defenseman Connor McClelland. Anthony Cirelli scored in overtime to send the Tampa Bay Lightning to the Stanley Cup Final with a 2-1 victory over the New York Islanders. Tampa Bay goes on to face the Dallas Stars for the title. The series begins Saturday. The Yankees tied a major league record with 5 home runs in an inning and hit 6 overall in a 10-7 win over the Blue Jays that extended their winning streak to 8. New York set a major league record for most home runs in a 3-game span with 19 and became the first team with 6 or more home runs in 3 straight games. All against your Blue Jays. The Mariners' upcoming series against the Padres has been relocated to San Diego due to air quality concerns in the Seattle area. Baker Mayfield threw 2 touchdown passes, and the Cleveland Browns gave coach Kevin Stefanski his first NFL win by beating the Cincinnati Bengals 35-30 on Thursday Night Football, and it happened to be the NFL's 100th birthday in its birthplace of the state of Ohio. And the Miami Heat have done it to the Boston Celtics once again in the NBA's Eastern Conference Final. The Heat blew a sizable lead before closing with a 17-7 run to beat the Celtics 106-101 and go up 2-0. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. Our arcade games and batting cages are officially open. No reservation needed. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Just to pull it back on track for a second, it is the 12-year anniversary of Ron Lancaster's passing, the little general. It was a special night. And for the younger viewers, because I think it's important to recognize history, not to mention the pillars of this fine league, John, tell us something about Ron Lancaster. Because you broadcast his games.
Yeah, the final game of his career was in Edmonton. I had Al Ford with me as a color commentator. I was doing play-by-play in 1978, and that was the opening year of a stadium in Edmonton as well. Ryder was in for the first time in that game. Ron Lancaster, in the last minute of the game, took the football on a Ryder 35-yard line and went down and scored it, the touchdown to win the game, a final touchdown of his career, obviously. But the big thing was the Eskimos laid off him, eh? That's
let him
class.
Do it.
That's the kind of class in the league. Everybody respecting the great Ron Lancaster for so many games he'd won for the Saskatchewan Roughriders and a sensational record with this team. it was very emotional to be there, and Ronnie was crying, sobbing after the game. Talked to him, and he said, "Oh, Lynchy, I can't believe it's all over. It's all over now." Is it? That was the final game of his career. Everybody hugging him and kissing him.
And the next year, he's coaching the same team.
Yeah, and the Eskimos came in and hugged him, too. The next year, he's coaching the same team.
Why did everybody – forgive me, because I obviously wasn't following it then. Why did everybody know what was his last game? How did it come to that? It was just too broken down, and that was
no,
it?
No, that was pretty well agreed upon. I mean, that was no, that was going to be the end of his career, and that was the final game. It was pretty well known. It was open. Well, no secret. It was no secret. And it was, I mean, a very a emotional week here and in Edmonton, because they celebrated him for him with a couple of dues in the stadium with a lot of dignitaries from the league there, and then the game came on. It was a real good game against the Eskimos. Riders winning it in the last minute. And Lancaster taking the ball down the field, very appropriate, eh? And a handoff to win the game. So, I mean, it was an event that was known all across Canada. It made CBC News, or not CBC News. Well, yeah, it did, CBC News, all the networks, the final game of Ron Lancaster. Very respected man.
Well,
nobody thought he was going to turn around the next year
and coach
the Riders.
Viewers writing in about that. Larry Dye says Dan Kepley gave him a high five during the game.
Yeah, he did.
So I know how respected he was, but I just remember when he passed. Yeah, the BC Lions were here. Not because Wally said Ron doesn't just belong to Saskatchewan, he belongs to the entire CFL. And I was offended. I'm like, he's ours. And then I stopped and thought, well, no, they love him in Edmonton, and they love him in Hamilton, and they hate him in Winnipeg. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all time.
A legend. I get what Wally was saying. But I can't believe that you guys don't remember the beer-throwing incident. It was that night. They painted 23 on the sideline, on the 35-yard lines. City Hall was lit up. All the lights of City Hall in 23, the lights. They turned all the lights on and off to make 23 in City Hall.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And, of course, one of the Lions players, wasn't it Dante Marsh? Somebody help me out. Fired the football into a crowd after a pick, and that started Rider fans rocketing beers at the Lions bench. And I don't just mean a few. Hundreds, if not thousands. And Wally Buono pulled his team towards center field, and I thought they were leaving the field because I'm calling the game, and I said, they're going home! Remember Bob Cole and the Russian Red Army in 76 when they went off the ice? Yep. That's what I thought the Lions were doing. But no, Wally was just waiting until everybody ran out of beer cans to throw, and then he took them back over, and Jim Hobson had to end it. And I defended the Rider Nation because I said they deserved it. They were provoked. But they were summarily admonished by the CFL, by the mayor of the city. That was that day, and it was our good friend Jim Lang who on Sportsnet who said at the time, Ron Lancaster would be very disappointed with what the Rider Nation is doing tonight and their conduct. I know Ronnie, too.
One of those things.
I don't think he'd have a problem with it.
I remember it briefly, but I don't know.
Okay, they're going home.
I can forget it.
Sherry Petty writes in. She says, we didn't lose that game. We just ran out of time. Favorite Lancaster quote. Oh, he's got a million. The Riders got just destroyed in Calgary one game. Like the Stamps scored 8 or 9 touchdowns. And after the game, you know, they run the horse around the field every touchdown. The reporter said to Lancaster, how do you feel after that one? And Lancaster goes, don't worry about me. How's that horse? I'm worried about him. Lancaster said that. We got to go. What was the thing, the comment just came up about loving past CFL legends? Because I do believe that's been forgotten by some segments of this country, forgetting the people like that. There it is. Colin in Ottawa says, love Rod and Frenzy putting some respect on past CFL legends. I wish the league would do more to tell the stories of past players like Normie Kwong, Hal Patterson, Sam Echeverry, or Ronnie Stewart. It is what it is. We'll do it here. Flame Tech Football Friday, brought to you by Flame Tech, locally owned and operated industry leaders in commercial and industrial combustion technology. We've got a viewer takeover segment coming up next, but I want Lynch's take on all these things. The CFL playing in 2021, the Battle of Ohio last night, your thoughts.
Great game.
All coming up. It's the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's viewer takeover, but I'm most interested in Lynch's comments But to the Prairie Mobile text line, by the way, you can reach us every day, 306-840-8777. Saskatchewan's a SaskTel authorized dealer, Prairie Mobile, but it's headquartered in Winnipeg. Jim Wagner writes in. He says, thanks, guys, for having John Chick on. He's a truth seeker and proclaimer. Man, I miss him. And even more seeing him again. Enjoy the sim and the weekend. Yeah, tonight's Canada's Game of the Week sim games tonight. But what makes the CFL great? The players. Who wasn't getting paid during the season suspension? The players. From Metal Shingle Guy, he says, exciting game last night. The strip sack after holding the Browns out of the end zone was the turning point. Chubb and Hunt, what a backfield. Pick your poison. Burrows will be the next Peyton Manning. Loved it. That is our poll question today. Who will have the better pro career, Joe Burrow or Baker Mayfield? Running away with it right now, Joe Burrow. From BC, anonymous texter writes in, says, Tampa Bay will win the Stanley Cup. Win this one for Esposito. And from DG in Saskatoon, morning, guys. What a performance by Christian Covington of the Bengals, son of the great Grover Covington, in last night's NFL game. He was all over the field on a handful of plays. That's from DG in Saskatoon. But we opened the show by saying Alouettes owner Gary Stern says the CFL plans to play in 2021. That's plan A. Plan B, they could play and make money without fans. That has got everybody excited. You, obviously, but not me. Because I think if nothing changes, business model, the lack of ingenious marketing, different revenue streams, from what I can see, I don't know that it's necessarily good news. But how do you feel about that?
Well, the statement he made is the B category. It doesn't make sense. They can't play without fans. How? You're going to get donations from people in the town and do a walkthrough or something? There's no way they can play. It sounds great, but there's not enough revenue from the CFL, from the TSN, to keep the league going. It just physically can't happen. So it won't. They won't go that way. They're going to try to make it work, though. I like that. I like to hear from these guys in Montreal. They're trying hard. They think they can do it. It's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing some news out of here and around the Western Conference as to see what progress has been made to date. Looks like none so far. And it bothers me.
Well, it looks that way. And I'm not digging too far into it, to be honest with you. I said I'm all in on the NFL, as are you. You're big on college now. You're excited that the Big Ten's playing. I'm following what's happening in the junior hockey very closely, whether they play or not, and obviously staying on top of the NHL. This statement from Gary Stern was like an earthquake among CFL circles because you haven't heard anything.
No.
That's all. I know there is a lot going on, and I'm from the big-time businesses that are being asked for money by the CFL. Those big-time business owners are saying, where is the plan? Yeah. Well, the CFL owners currently and governors and operators would be stupid if they weren't coming up with a plan. They're coming up with a plan, but I'm not sure I would buy into the CFL right now because, again, that broken business model that's handcuffed them and hamstrung them this year, how's that changing? I don't see that changing. If they say they're coming back in 2021, that's why I don't see that's necessarily good news.
Well, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's great that he's into it and for Montreal's sake, but common sense says no way.
Yeah.
And that scares me. That really scares me. I mean, we want to see some real positive stuff coming out now. There's a lot of guys, football players of each team, hanging around the city they're playing for in Canada, wanting to play, wanting to see the league survive, instead of having to go down south to get a job or try to get a job. They want to stay and play for the Canadian Football League team they're tied into, have been tied into. But there's nothing to give them a feeling of success that something great is going to happen. And I want to see somebody coming up with it.
Well, a viewer in Ottawa, Jacques Dupuis, says, get a CFL lottery to pay for the league. Can we stop thinking that the CFL is a damn charity and run it professionally like a business? And by the way, for those that think sports isn't important in the coronavirus pandemic, it's a business. So stop thinking that it's just a pastime. It's a way of life to thousands of people, the Canadian Football League. So anybody that thinks it's not important or any other sport, it is a business. We'll continue the party in hour two. Facebook Live, Tori Gurley with us, Willie Jefferson. For the rest of you, we'll see y'all Monday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.